Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Oh, do I love this Sunday. This is the Feast of Divine Mercy Sunday, the Sunday after Easter, because we've experienced divine mercy, that God died for us and rose for us. But it's for all of us. Let us celebrate this day. Brothers and sisters, Thomas Aquinas said, mercy consists in bringing a thing out of non-being into being. We see this transpire concretely in the life of the early church. The community of believers was of one heart and mind. They had everything in common. There are so many ways in which the early people were together. And where are we today? Do we just slip in and slip out of the church? Do we care for one another? Do we just give in to gossip? Do we try to support one another, help one another, that we might finish our journey in the arms of God? Please, on this Divine Mercy Sunday, at least on this feast, do some merciful act for another. Please, if you can't do it today, do it tomorrow. But do it very soon. Do an act of mercy. It doesn't have to be trumpets blowing, etc., but kindness to somebody really in need. God will lead you. Like newborn infants, says the entrance Xenophon, you must long for the pure spiritual milk, that in him you may grow to salvation. So we have to draw our mercy from his. And that means that, you know, often I just say, Jesus, help me to be merciful as you are merciful. And I mean it when I say it. It's not just a nice, pious thing to think, but it really is, Lord, give me mercy in this situation. Sometimes I have to correct somebody. Sometimes I have to be corrected myself. And it's all in the hand of mercy. Everybody is set free. And that's what we need. We need more and more of the mercy of God in our lives. So let's take a look at the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The community of believers was of one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. But they had everything in common. I'm not saying that you need to do that, but look at this unity here. With great power, the apostles bore witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great favor was accorded them all. There was no needy person among them, for those who owned property or houses would sell them, bring the proceeds of the sale, and put them at the feet of the apostles, and they were distributed to each according to need. That's the early church, brothers and sisters. What do we do about the poor? What do we do in our parish? To whom do we reach out to? Do we just say hi, hello, goodbye, and get in a car and drive away after Mass? Or do we, if we can, do we turn to somebody and just talk to them, ask them how their day is. Promise somebody you'll pray for them. Be a vessel of mercy for those around you. Your family, first. Your parish, second. But please, open your hearts to the ways in which God wants to work through you. Psalm 118 tells us, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is everlasting. Let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his mercy endures forever. I was hard-pressed and was falling, but the Lord helped me. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and he has been my Savior. The joyful shout of victory in the tents of the just. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord, this has been done. It is wonderful in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Take some time today, if you possibly can. Just ask the Lord, how could I be more merciful? How could I turn to another in a small place, maybe at work or at school or in the neighborhood or at the grocery store or wherever you may be? Lord, how can I show your mercy? And the next reading is taken from the letter of St. John. He says, "Beloved, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten by God, and everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by him. In this way, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. And the victory that conquers the world is our faith. Who indeed is the victor over the world, but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came through water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water alone, but by water and blood. The Spirit is the one that testifies, and the Spirit is truth." And now we turn to the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Confirmation. You receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven, and whose sins you retain are retained. Brothers and sisters, God is merciful. He has limits on us, but if we humble ourselves, he shows great mercy to us. Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you, that's you and me, may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. Oh, brothers and sisters, do we believe? Do we trust him? Are we near to him, brothers and sisters? Do you remember Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska? She died October 5th, 1938, And I want to tell you something. It's very funny. I was born October 5th, 1939. So I have a particular interest, first of all, for her message, but also that we share a birthday. And listen to what she says about unfathomable mercy. O Jesus, eternal truth, our life, I call upon you, and I beg your mercy for poor sinners. That's us. O sweetest heart of my Lord, full of pity and unfathomable mercy, I plead with you for poor sinners. O most sacred heart, fount of mercy, from which gush forth rays of inconceivable graces upon the entire human race, I beg of you, light for poor sinners, O Jesus. Be mindful of your own bitter passion, and do not permit the loss of souls redeemed at so dear a price of your most precious blood. O Jesus, she writes, when I consider the great price of your blood, I rejoice at its immensity, for one drop alone would have been enough for the salvation of all sinners. Although sin is an abyss of wickedness and ingratitude, the price paid for us can never be equaled. Therefore, let every soul trust in the passion of the Lord and place its hope in his mercy. God will not deny his mercy to anyone. I'm speaking to you. God will not deny his mercy to anyone. Heaven and earth may change, but God's mercy will never be exhausted. Oh, what immense joy burns in my heart when I contemplate your incomprehensible goodness, O Jesus. I desire to bring all sinners to your feet, that they may glorify your mercy through endless ages. Let us take time to go to confession and to know that God waits for us and he will bring us endless compassion. He knows our weakness. He will forgive us. You do not have to carry the burden of sin. Bring it to the priest. Receive the confession. And know the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. May you know that kind of freedom, because he loves us so much. Please, brothers and sisters, I know that we're guilty of many sins. I know that. But I want to use the closing seconds of this program to say to you, please, don't say, oh, that's for someone else. St. Faustina would bless you, and I will pray with you that you may know the freedom of the sons of God, the freedom of the daughters of God, because God wants to cancel your sins if you're willing to acknowledge them. In confession, he will cancel your sins. Know the mercy of God that you may spread it everywhere. God bless you.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.